Christmas is a time to be thankful for all the gifts we receive. At least we're supposed to be thankful.
Here, Dad, open up this one first.
Yeah, we got you something really different this year.
Oh, gee, thanks, kids.
Different, huh? Looks like another tie box to me. Oh, well, maybe this one has a giraffe on it.
Oh, boy. Just what I always wanted. An inflatable 12-man life raft?
Most of us are disappointed when we don't get the gift we want. Well, we're going to take a look at the whole idea behind giving Christmas presents and learn about the greatest Christmas gift that was ever given on today's Adventure in Odyssey.
Oh, hi there. I was just working on one of my inventions here. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but you can call me Whit. And this is Odyssey. Hey, let's see if this thing works. Hold it! Okay, so it needs a little more work. But that's the exciting part, because you never know what you'll discover along the way. Oh, don't take my word for it, though. You can find out for yourself when you come along on today's Adventures in Odyssey.
There, Chris here. Time to fasten your seatbelts for another wild ride through Odyssey. Today we're going to hear a crazy story about a couple named Madge and Guy and find out what makes getting and giving a Christmas gift really special. Speaking of Christmas, one of my favorite things to do at this time of the year is to pick up my Bible and read the wonderful story of Jesus' birthday over and over again. And every time I do that, it seems like I see something new and interesting to think about. For instance, in the first chapter of Matthew, there's what's known as a genealogy or history of all Jesus' ancestors, the people who lived before him. But you know what? If you turn over to the third chapter of the Gospel of Luke, you'll find another list of all of Jesus' relatives there. Of course, there's nothing really strange about that, until you start to compare the lists. And when you do, you'll see that, with just a few exceptions, both lists have completely different names on them. Now, we know that the Bible is the true Word of God, and because of that, there aren't any mistakes in it. And yet, we still have two almost completely different family histories for Jesus. Can you figure out why? There is a logical explanation for it, and I'll tell you what it is at the end of the program. Meanwhile, we're going to stop by Wit's End for a cup of eggnog and a way-out tale about Christmas when our Adventure in Odyssey begins right after this. Christmas is always one of the busiest times of the year in Odyssey. The kids at Wit's End are really getting into the holiday spirit. And why not? There's so much to do. Shopping, wrapping presents, decorating the tree. Of course, before you can decorate the tree, you have to get it inside. And that's just what Wit and Connie and Tom and Officer Harley are doing right now. At least that's what they're trying to do.
Okay, now, just a few more feet.
Oh. Pick the bottom end up,
all
over
right,
time.
All right,
the branches are scraping on the carpet.
The door's too narrow.
Oh,
okay.
All right, men. On the count of three.
Three.
Ready?
Yeah.
One.
One.
Two.
Two.
Three.
Three.
Oh, my, it looks just great. You know, I think it's one of the best trees I've ever had.
And one of the heaviest, too.
Well, I'm sorry to hear you say that, Tom. Maybe it'll be a little lighter in a few weeks when you help me carry it out.
Carry it out? Oh, well.
All right, everybody. The decorations are over there in those boxes. Now, when you've finished, we'll all gather together to put the star on top. Okay, go to it. And while they're doing that, we'll get something to drink. Connie, how about setting up some tall cups of eggnog?
Hey, I'll drink to that.
Oh, yeah.
She won't like that.
Well, I haven't heard you come up with anything better, Lisa.
Hey, hey now, you two. That doesn't exactly sound like Christmas cheer.
It's hard to be cheerful when somebody disagrees with everything you say.
Well, we're trying to figure out what to give this friend of ours for Christmas.
Yeah, and Lisa doesn't like any of my ideas.
That's because all your ideas are dumb.
They are not.
Are too.
Yours are the one that
wait
are
wait a minute, wait a minute. No, let's not start that again. Now, what's the matter with the ideas you've already had?
See, everything we can't afford, he wouldn't like. And everything he'd like, we can't afford.
That's why they invented credit cards.
Very funny, Connie. Now, how do you know what he'd like and wouldn't like? After all, isn't it the thought that counts?
Come on. Nobody really believes that anymore, do they? I mean, everyone's a little disappointed deep down inside when they're expecting a nice present and they don't get one.
I know I was disappointed when I didn't get a new platinum-plated traffic whistle last year. It would have been great to stand out there in the middle of the street, directing cars with that platinum-plated baby hanging from my lips. Instead, I got this little chrome job. What a rip.
Well, maybe if you hadn't expected so much, you wouldn't have been so disappointed.
That's just my point, Tom. You know, the problem with gift-giving these days is that most of us look forward to being the givee and not the giver.
Wait a minute. Now you've lost me.
I think he's lost all of us.
Well, not quite. Haven't you ever heard it's more blessed to give than to receive?
It may be more blessed to give, but it's more fun to receive.
You think so? Well, try telling that to Madge and Guy.
Who?
Are you all telling me you never heard the story of Madge and Guy?
No, but I have a feeling we're about to.
Madge and Guy, they were a young couple, very much in love, but poor? Anyway, they knew what it meant to really give a gift. See, Christmas was coming, and Madge was counting her pennies to see what she could buy for Guy.
$1.84, $1.85, $1.86, $1.87, and tomorrow's Christmas? What am I gonna do? Come in!
Hello, darling Madge. I'm sorry to bother you like this, but I was just making a pie for our meal tomorrow and... Why, Madge, darling, are you crying? What is it?
It's when your face gets all red and tears run down your cheeks.
No, dear. I mean, what's the matter?
You mean besides the fact that it's Christmas Eve and I haven't done any shopping, and even if I did, I couldn't buy what I want because what I want is something really special, and all the money I have in the world is $1.87.
Yeah, besides that.
Nothing!
Oh, listen, sweetie. Who's this present for anyway?
My guy.
Your guy? Does your husband know about this?
Guy is my husband.
Oh, that guy.
I wanted to get him something really nice this Christmas, and I can't.
Well, if you don't have the cash on hand, I know. You could bake some cookies and sell them down by the market.
We sold the stove to pay the car insurance.
Okay. You could use the car to make deliveries.
Sold the car to cover medical bills.
Oh. Furniture?
Dentist.
Jewelry?
Taxes.
Books?
Harvey.
Harvey?
Guy's cousin Harvey. You think we're poor. What am I gonna do?
Oh, come on. Cheer up, sweetie. Anytime God closes a door, he opens a window. See what I mean?
Oh, that's just the newspaper.
Why doesn't that delivery boy toss it on the porch like he's supposed to?
He can't.
Don't tell me. You sold the porch.
Electric bill.
Say, honey, did you look here in the want ads?
Want ads?
No, thanks. Got some right here. Oh, and say, look at this one. Wanted hair.
Somebody would buy hair?
Are you kidding, honey? Wigs are big business. Listen, we pay top dollar for top-notch tops. Bring your hair here. Bingo! Your problem's solved.
Oh, I couldn't sell my hair. It's long. It's silky. It's...
worth $20. Take my advice. Talk to the man.
But Guy loves my hair. Why, just the other day, he told me...
Madge, I really love your hair.
And I just couldn't do this to him.
How do you do that?
Special effects.
Oh. Well, darling, I mean, it's up to you. After all, it's just a present. There'll be other Christmases. Look, I gotta go. I'll see you later.
And with that, Ethel left for home. Unfortunately, she forgot that Madge sold the porch.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Madge now had two things on her mind. A pile of beautiful, long, silky hair that fell almost to the floor when she let it down, and a tempting advertisement from a little shop on Main Street called Pop's Top Notch Tops.
Nice delivery.
Thank you. And now, Madge's beautiful, long, silky hair seemed too precious to cut off and sell. Why, it was one of the two most prized possessions Madge and Guy had between them. The other was Guy's antique watch. It belonged to his father, who got it from his father, who got it from his father, who... it was an old watch. It had a beautiful gold case, an ivory faceplate, and when you opened it up, it would play a touching little melody.
Sweetheart, what time is it?
Here, let me open my beautiful gold watch with the ivory faceplate.
Ooh.
$3:30, dear.
Thank you.
As I was saying, the dilemma weighed heavy on poor Madge.
What a heavy dilemma.
So she did what most women do in a time of crisis. She went shopping. She put on her coat, went out the front door, stepped over Ethel, who was still lying where the porch used to be.
Sorry, Ethel. No problem.
And strolled downtown to the retail district to see what she could see. Then, as she passed Fishbein's jewelry store, she was struck by an inspiration.
Oof!
Well, actually, she was struck by Morty Fishbein, who was coming back from making a delivery.
Gee, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Now, as Morty helped her up out of the snow, she happened to glance in the big display window in the front of Fishbein's store. And that's when she saw it. The most beautiful gold watch chain she had ever seen was hanging up there in the display case. Just the perfect gift to buy for her guy, Guy. For a moment, she was dumbstruck. Then she turned to Morty and asked,
"How much is that watch chain in the window?"
"The one hanging there on the nail?"
"Yes, how much is that watch chain in the window?"
"I don't think that watch chain's for sale, but I'll check."
Morty dashed into the store and came back in a flash.
"My dad said that even though it's a priceless heirloom..."
"Yes?"
"He'd be willing to let it go."
"Yes, yes."
"For a mere $20.
Madge tried her best to be brave.
"I don't suppose he'd take $1.87 now and the rest when we live happily ever after."
"I don't think so."
But it was obvious to her now that it was time for drastic action. She knew what she had to do.
"Is this Pop's top-notch top shop?"
"Nice delivery."
"Thank you. I understand you buy hair."
"Depends. Let's see the merchandise."
Madge took off her hat and let her beautiful, long, silky hair fall almost to the floor.
"Don't move, sweetie. I'll get my checkbook."
We'll be back with Adventures in Odyssey right after this.
It was a mighty cold walk as Madge made her way back to Fishbein's jewelry. But there was a spring in her step, partly because she was excited, and partly because without all that hair, she was at least 5 pounds lighter. Finally, she arrived at the store, only to make a startling discovery. They were closed.
"Hello? Yoo-hoo, Mr. Fishbein. Please open the door. Oh, please."
"Didn't you hear the narrator? We're closed. Go away."
"Oh, but you have to let me in. You have to."
"Don't you know it's Christmas Eve?"
"Of course, that's why it's so important."
"All right, all right."
"Now, what's so important that you come banging on my door on Christmas Eve?"
"You know that gold watch chain in the window?"
"The one hanging up on the nail?"
"I want that gold watch chain in the window."
"It's packed for a New Year's Day sale. Besides, you did that number with my son."
"Please, Mr. Fishbein. Morty said you'd sell me that chain for $20. And if you knew what I had to go through to get the money, you..."
No, now. Don't cry. I can't stand it when a woman cries. All that blubbering and mascara running down all over the place. Oh, all right. You can have it. I'll get you that chain if it means that much to you."
"Oh, thank you."
"No problem. That'll be $20. No refunds, no exchanges. Understand?"
"Yes, yes. Here."
"Well, I'll say this. Whoever's getting this chain is a pretty lucky guy.
Oh, you know him.
Who?
Guy.
You mean the guy who's getting the chain?
Exactly.
Nope. I don't know him. Never heard of him.
Then how did you know his name?
Whose name?
Guy's name. My husband.
I get it. This guy's your husband. You're buying the chain for your husband.
That's what I've been telling you.
Fine. I still think he's a lucky guy.
See, you said his name again.
The guy's name?
Yes, that's it.
Look, Mr. Narrator, I think we may be here for a while. Why don't you get on with the story? So your husband, the guy, he's lucky.
It took an hour or so before Madge left the store. She was so excited, she raced home in the snow. When she arrived, she made her way up the sidewalk toward the door, being careful not to step on Ethel.
So you sold your hair?
Yes, and I got Guy the most beautiful present ever.
Well, you better get inside and wrap it, because here comes Guy up the sidewalk.
Oh, gotta go. Can you give me a boost up to the door?
Sure, honey. Here.
Thanks.
No problem.
Madge quickly looked around for some wrapping paper, but unfortunately she had sold it.
Newspaper subscription.
So she used the next best thing. Wallpaper. She quickly wrapped his present, straightened up what was left of the room, and sat down to meet her guy.
You know, I really miss that porch. Oh, hello. My name's Guy. What's yours?
Guy, it's me.
Me? That's a strange name. You waiting for Madge? I expected her home by now, but...
Look at me, Guy. It's me, Madge.
But Madge has a nice, perky personality.
I have a nice, perky personality.
Madge has a cute little smile.
I have a cute little smile.
Madge has long, beautiful, silky hair.
I have a cute little smile.
You are Madge. I can't believe it.
Guy, your face, what is it?
Oh, it's just this thing I keep on the front of my head. You know, a couple of eyes and a nose.
No, I mean, you look sad. What's the matter?
You cut your hair.
Well, just a little bit.
You cut your hair.
It'll grow back.
You cut your hair!
Are you trying to tell me something?
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
No, why did you do it?
So I could get you a really special Christmas present. I went to Pop's Top Notch Top Shop.
Nice delivery.
Thanks. Pop cropped my top and gave me $20 for it, and that's what I used to buy your present. Oh, Guy, is it really all that bad? I mean, I'm still the same Mad you love even without my hair, aren't I?
Well, of course you are, sweetheart. I'd love you even if you looked like Yul Brynner. But if you take a look at this gift I bought for you, you'll see why you had me going there for a while.
For me? Oh, Guy.
Madge tore away the beautiful wrapping paper after she had read today's headlines and looked into the box. First, she let out a squeal of delight.
Delight?
Which was immediately followed by a sob of anguish.
Anguish?
For inside the box was a lovely set of combs made of pure tortoise shell with jeweled rims. She had wanted these combs for months.
Years.
Years, but never dreamed she'd ever actually own them. And now...
Guy, I never dreamed I'd actually own these.
I heard.
My hair grows back fast, you'll see. Besides, you won't even think about my hair when you see what I got for you. Here.
How nice. Wallpaper. And it even matches the stuff we already have on the wall.
No, Guy. It's what's in the wallpaper.
Oh, yeah.
I got it at Fishbein's Jewelers. It's the solid gold watch chain in the window.
The one hanging up on a nail?
Yes, I bought that gold watch chain in the window.
I hope that you got it wholesale. It's beautiful.
Now you won't have to carry your beautiful antique watch on that old clunky thing anymore.
Yeah, it was getting a little heavy.
Guy, didn't there used to be a watch on the end of that chain?
Yeah. Well, you see, Madge, about my watch, remember the guy that bought the porch?
Uh-huh.
Seems he loves watches.
You didn't.
He gave me a good deal on it, really. Enough to buy your combs.
Oh, Guy, you big lug.
Oh, shucks.
I love you.
Come on, I got a few cents left over. Let's go down to that little place on the corner and split a child's portion diet mini cheeseburger. Let me help you down here.
Thanks.
Ow, that was my foot.
Sorry, Ethel.
No problem.
No And off they went, hand in hand, more in love than ever.
That story sounded familiar, Mr. Whittaker. I think I heard it, I don't know, maybe at church.
I hope you did. It's not original. It's called The Gift of the Magi by a man who called himself O. Henry. I just changed a few things around here and there. But what's important is, do you get the point of the story?
Yeah, I think I do. If you kids want to get a present for this friend of yours, you gotta sell Lisa's hair.
No, it's gotta be something valuable.
Oh, stop it, Phil. Don't you see? Madge and Guy were both willing to sacrifice their most prized possession for the other. And neither one of them expected a nice gift, or any present at all, for that matter, in return. That's what real giving, true giving, is all about.
Mr. Whittaker, we're ready to put the star on the tree.
Okay, we're coming.
Now, that's what I call a Christmas tree.
Well, what else would you call it?
He means it's beautiful.
You kids have done a great job. It's perfect. At least it will be when we put the star on top. You see, it was a star just like this one that led the three wise men to Bethlehem. There they found the little baby Jesus lying in a manger. And they brought him gifts, special gifts. In fact, some people say these fellows invented the art of giving Christmas presents. But that isn't really true, because God did that on the first Christmas. He knew that Jesus would grow out of the manger and head straight for the cross. But he loved us enough to sacrifice what he loved most, his own son, to give us the greatest gift ever, eternal life, abundant life. And I hope every time one of us looks at this star, we'll remember that.
Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
You know, one of the nicest things about living in Odyssey and being around Whit is that he's just full of wonderful stories like that. And what makes his story so wonderful is that most of the time they have happy endings. And of course, today's story had the happiest ending of all, the birth of Jesus. And that reminds me, have you figured out why the two genealogies of Jesus mentioned in the Bible are so different? Most people think the explanation is really complicated, but the answer is actually very simple. Matthew has a list of Joseph's ancestors, and Luke has a list of Mary's ancestors. Pretty easy, huh? You know, the Bible is like that. Even though it sometimes seems complicated, most of the time it really isn't. It has the answer to any question you can ask, and a lot of times those answers are very simple, if we have faith and trust that God will lead us to them. Adventures in Odyssey is a production of Focus on the Family. Today's episode was written and directed by Phil Lawler and Steve Harris. Our production engineer was Bob Luttrell, and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris. Join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.